We had an American wedding. It didn't mean too much, but we were so in love. Just an American wedding. Now what's mine is yours. That's American love. In my wrist, I, Kennedy, signed your name in pen. This is a fancy, fancy curse, turning, turn papers in. But this is all Islam, virgin brides and arranged marriage. Hello. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. Ladies and gentlemen, today's a Monday. Today's a Monday. And it is not a mundane Monday. It's just Monday. Okay, relax, guys. Relax, relax, relax. We are trying. We are trying. We are trying. This is the end of year fatigue that's going on. Everybody's just exhausted. Okay, we're just looking at each other like it's not over yet. It's not over yet, so our boss can give us a bonus. It's not over. It's not over yet, so that we can go on holiday. It's not over. It's not over, guys. You guys still have a stretch. You guys have 31 days. And then the few days of December, and then the few days of October, then you plus that together. So when you plus that together, that gives you the roundabout. Now, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we're going to be talking about $65,000 dress. We're going to be talking about that one because of the principle around it. We're going to be talking about it because I want to hear what you guys are thinking about. I want to hear what your hearts are doing. I want to hear, who said this, sharp. I want to hear about it. So, don't hesitate.
Lipura nengeno wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutete opoe ekukulile oshafa fana nongeshefa ili nehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshuala onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitida mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetida oipindi konu kwanda doi nawa nune udo otukwetida o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka opone ushenjife nawa nokumona oijabwiri nawa ninge Patafanoa Monica ko Eagle FM on Murai Tatuimwe Bali Heali Nola Natu Heali Bali no Heali Ileko Berewa Murai Hetatu Natu Bali O Hetatu Matatu Oma Filane Eagle FM The Eye
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who you know does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, listen to Eagle FM in Lodritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.0.
Happy Juju, how are you? What are you doing? Why are you not picking up my phone?
Well, David Chumbi, I'm just scrolling through my phone, going through my WhatsApp, my Facebook, and all that.
Serious, what's the time now?
Wait, it's almost 1800 hours! I need to tune into Eagle FM! Business Economic Segment is about to play now!
Yes, listen to Business and Economic Segment with David Shombe from 1800 hours to 1900 hours when we talk about business, economics, trade, and current affairs. Do not miss out if you want to learn and move forward with economic advancement.
Eagle FM,
Alrighty, good evening to you. Hello, hello, how are you guys doing? Ladies and gentlemen, my name is The Matriarch and I am your host for this evening. The number in studio is 083-288-401. That is the number in studio. Now, the question is, it's just a bold one. We're just throwing it out there. And it doesn't really have a title. It's just $65,000 dress.
That's it. So now I've heard many sayings, and I've heard many arguments and conversations, and I heard many, I've heard many chit chats in bathrooms and lavatories and restaurants and etc. Taxis. I've heard many conversations around the concept of buying a $65,000 dress. Now, we would like to say that, okay, so this $65,000 dress, why would we buy a $65,000 dress? And under what circumstances would we buy a $65,000 dress? Now, my theory is, what makes you happy? What makes you happy? And, excuse me. Now, this what makes you happy is a bold question, because many of us don't understand the concept of happiness, and many of us don't understand what it is, because it's difficult to say that, oh, yeah, I understand when happiness is, and happiness is for everybody, and this is what makes life good, and, you know, the secret to being a little bit happier is like this, and it is what it is. So before we dive into our conversation today, before you take my two cents on this, we are going to have a scholar or two, right? A scholar or two. Be after the caller. Hello, caller.
Good evening.
Good evening, Goldie Mbepo. You are in air. Oh, what in now? What are you doing?
So the topic for today is about what the $65,000 dress.
Yeah, 65K dress. Let's talk about it.
Like me buying it for my girlfriend or something, my wife or something.
Yeah, it's her wedding dress. Or let's say, yeah, it's her wedding dress.
Or is it just a wedding dress or just a normal dress?
A wedding, for the wedding.
For the wedding.
And
it's $65,000.
Yes.
It depends
on
the amount of money that I'm making. And because you cannot just like invest all the whole money in a dress.
Okay.
And then after a wedding, like you are going to build a house and a family. And then the money is all spent on the dress.
So if you're making a lot of money, then you would give her a $65,000 dress?
Yeah, if you're making a lot of money, it won't be a problem because money is there. It's only a problem to those that you got a salary of $10,000. For you, like, to get...
So 7 months worth of pay.
Yeah, 7 months.
Yeah.
Even a year, because, like...
It's more 65, so it's 10K per month, so it's 7 months for 70K. So...
No, it has to be a year, because you are not only targeting your dress, there are a lot of problems. And then after, like, a year in marriage, then you broke up.
But why are you going to break up? This is most the love of your life.
You are not sure. People can pretend sometimes.
People can pretend until they get married just for them to get divorced. I don't think so.
Yeah, some are like that, and some are not like that.
Have you met anybody that married and then wanted the divorce?
Yeah, I met something like that. I have some neighbors, I don't want to mention names.
Of course.
Yeah, a woman was just waiting to get married, and then after 2 years, she divorced, because she was like, when I'm divorcing, we have like, to share the properties equally.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it was for the property.
Yeah. And then you just buy a $5,000 dress, like, to impress, like, you are going to take a loan or something, whatever. And then it will all be on you alone.
Yeah.
And then, like, it's not really a problem to buy that dress. And it has to add also, like, money is a little kind of struggle. You cannot just like someone sitting home always not doing anything, mm-hmm. expecting the dress to fall from heaven now.
Mm.
Like, be like, do something, then you are like, I have 700, as long as you have something.
Mm.
And I'm crushing this dress, so what's your take on it?
Mm.
Something like that.
Okay.
And then the problem with us guys, like, it's hard for us to say, like, no, I don't have.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can't afford that.
Mm-hmm.
We always try to embrace, and it's not like, it's not needed.
Mm.
If you can't just say that you can, and most of us, like, we don't like saying that we can't.
Mm-hmm.
When you say that you can, you feel like you're not a man enough.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's got a lot of pressure on us.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now, let's say hypothetically, you have the money. And then the money is, then the dress is bought. And the dress is ugly. What will happen?
Maybe you have to look forward to the next one.
To the next wedding or what?
No, to the next dress.
No, all of them are ugly.
All of them are ugly.
All of them, my dear. The designer then played you out.
Yo. But it will not be a really problem because you just have to switch to the next design.
Mm-hmm.
Because
now if you bought one dress for 65,000, we are going to take the next designer from where now if we spend our 65,000? We'll just buy another one or what? Short notice.
Just buy another one because for us guys, when you have money,
mm-hmm.
you don't have a problem.
Mm.
Like spending it for a lady, it's very easy.
Mm-hmm.
You are even like you speak it out yourself. Like, say what do you want? Say what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Then if you buy that dress, you'll be like, no, this one is not nice. I'm moving to the next one. Then you're like, okay, it's not a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So you would definitely buy it, no problem.
No problem. Uh-huh. As long as money is there. But when this money is not there, I can't do that.
Uh-huh.
If I try like buying the first one and then it's ugly, yo, that will be a very big problem.
Uh-huh.
Then, like, because you have to sell that one and even, like, sell it on by 30,000, then you add another 30. That you'll be 90.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And it's not about just a dress, like.
Now, how much will your suit cost?
My suit?
Mm. Under which circumstances can a woman ask you to buy, as a man, right, ask you to buy a dress for 65,000? Who does she have to be in your life?
As long as, like, love.
Someone you love?
Like, yeah, someone that you love. You know how love is.
Mm.
Love is crazy. As long as when, like, someone loves you unconditionally and you feel like, you know, you can love someone and you're like, no, I don't need anything else. I just want to be with this lady.
Mm.
Someone like when you are with, you feel more of a man.
Mm.
And it will be easy, even though you don't make that like a lot of money.
Yeah.
You do it like just to.
You will do it because she deserves it.
Because she deserves it.
Uh-huh. Because she's amazing.
Yeah. And then the way the person comes in your life.
Mm.
Yeah, sometimes for us guys, most of us, we are changed by ladies.
Mm.
I'm not saying everyone.
Mm.
Some, like, a lady just found you, you're making enough money, but you just don't look like someone who has a plan of life.
Yeah.
And then when she comes in, and then everything gets in order.
Mm.
And then you realize it yourself, like, yeah, when I get this person,
mm-hmm.
things are now great.
Yeah.
You are getting...
So she's like, an asset.
Yeah, she's an asset.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she asks that dress, you for surely do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she deserves it. And then these ones that, like, They just want to be blessed or something.
Why not? You are the blessamos. What's the problem?
Yeah, but, yo. And then the problem is some lady. They feel like, we argued yesterday, and then today you are asking, that's $6,000 is worth. Now it can be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's like, to act in order to get something.
Oh, so I must pretend.
A right direction.
Ah. So I must pretend.
Yeah. No, not really pretend.
Mm.
But sometimes you know that the only way to get it is to pretend. You have to do that.
Okay.
But not working. I'm not saying people are going to pretend now.
Mm.
Just saying in general.
Okay.
Alright.
Alright, thank you so much.
Alright, you're welcome.
Ciao, ciao. Alright, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The question for tonight is, under what circumstances would you buy a $65,000 dress? And the previous caller said that if the money is there, great, I will buy it. If it's someone that I really, really honestly love, great, I will buy it. If there is unconditional love from both sides, I will buy it. If this person is an asset, I will buy it. And even if I didn't have, but she is all these things, I will save up until I can buy it. So this leaves me to today's ultimate school process, right? And we are going to be listening to scholars that are going to talk about happiness. Anoik, like, what is this? I hate it when I come from the weekend and then I'm like a person that went for an out weekend at the village. I speak too much Oshindonga at home, guys. Like, now when I come to work, it's like, is that Oshindonga? I have to dig in Oshindonga there by the house because we want the kids to speak Oshindonga, but okay. All right. So what we are saying, or what I'm saying tonight, is we're going to listen to scholars that are going to be talking about happiness, right? And the direction in which I'm going to take this conversation is from the perspective of happiness. And then we're going to dive into what society is saying about this $65,000 dress. I'm going to try and break it down to the best of my understanding, to the best of my research, to the best of my ability, so that maybe, just maybe, we can put the issue to rest and maybe also just think about it. But I'm taking a different narrative. I'm taking the approach with story time. Before that, ladies and gentlemen, we as Eagle Media House do not claim any ownership of the clips or the audios or any sound tracks that are not my voice that are displayed on our programs. We strictly use them for illustration purposes only, and this is a disclaimer. So don't go saying, yeah, Eagle FM stole who's what, never forever, because we don't claim ownership of it. We are literally telling you their school of thought. We are letting you... We are broadening the horizon by allowing others to speak and you can hear them. Enjoy.
When I was 10 years old, things started shifting between my parents, and not for the better. One day they called a family meeting. We had never had a family meeting before. They sat my two younger sisters and I down, and they told us that we would be moving from our little log cabin in northern British Columbia, Canada, to the southern part of the province. And that they would be divorcing. Of course, my sisters and I were devastated. The entire world that I knew was crumbling apart. And yet, this was not the worst part. You see, my father, Peter, had always been this happy-go-lucky guy. The divorce was extremely hard on him, and he was becoming more and more withdrawn. He was less engaged with my sisters and I. He had less energy, and I barely recognized him anymore. I remember thinking to myself, is this my new dad? One day I woke up at his house and my sisters were still sleeping and I could hear music playing downstairs, which was very unusual. As I came downstairs, I could smell fresh orange juice and bacon, and there was my dad, Peter, dancing and making pancakes. I said, good morning, Dad. Good morning, Tia. I said, wow, Dad, you seem really happy today. Are you happy because it's your birthday? You know, Tia, I have had 3 of the worst years of my entire life. And I woke up this morning and I thought to myself, I'm not going to have another bad year. I saw my dad choose happiness. So what did he do exactly? He started doing things that he enjoyed doing. So he played upbeat music all the time. He went back to school and changed careers. He exercised outside, spent time with his horses, and he spent a lot of time with his friends. I learned as a young teenager that happiness is a choice, and it's something that you do. And this lesson impacted my entire life. However, at age 18 and 19, I was really struggling and I was not happy. I had dropped out of university after 1 semester and I was partying way too much. I knew that there had to be more to life and I knew that I had to choose happiness for myself. This decision took me from living in Calgary, Alberta, to Hilton Head Island, South Carolina, where I worked with children one summer. I am so grateful that I chose Hilton Head because it exposed me to the travel and hospitality industries. This experience led me to a 15-year career in the hospitality industry that I was passionate about and successful in. I led sales and marketing teams in Hawaii, New York City, Istanbul, and Los Angeles. Remember, I'm from a little log cabin in northern Canada. A happy life is not about feeling happy all the time. This is a huge misconception. A happy life has more positive than pain. We all have pain. A happy life has meaning and purpose. And a happy life has different experiences that make you psychologically rich. You think happiness comes from meeting other people and society's expectations, but really it comes from creating your own. Here is the simple secret of being happier. Spend time doing things you really enjoy doing. Society tells us what happiness is, what happiness looks like. But what really matters is how you feel. So many people struggle with happiness. I struggle. You struggle. Whether it's kids, work, finances, politics, nonstop technology, social media, family, or the never-ending 24/7 negative news cycle. I personally struggle to feed my family 3 times a day, 7 days a week, every single week. I am not a good cook, and I don't like cooking. Obviously, I would never make it on Top Chef. Bottom Chef called and said, don't even bother. Here's just a few stats. 79% of people globally, according to Gallup's research, show that 79% of people are disengaged while they're working. That's almost 80% of people. Many people doing work that they don't like or that's not meaningful to them. Also, according to Gallup's global research, 41% of people have a lot of stress and worry on a regular basis. The World Health Organization said 1 in 4 are not getting enough exercise. And the term work-life balance has over 2.8 billion search results on Google. And your brain, my brain, all of our brains have a negativity bias, which is really unfortunate. We have to work extra hard to be positive and optimistic. I'm going to share with you 4 things that many people really enjoy doing. I'm going to connect them to the science of happiness. And I want you to think about these for yourself. Happiness choice number 1. Spend a lot of quality time with your friends and your family. For me, this looks like weekly date nights with my husband, playing with my daughters every single day with my phone away, and FaceTiming and calling.
With either a non-alcoholic Heineken, Savannah, Vintook Original, or Vintook Lemon. Let's cheers to connecting, to moments shared and good vibes, anytime, anywhere. Grab one of our great tasting non-alcoholic beers or ciders. Easy to connect, easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low, because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
Calling my sisters multiple times a week. For you, it might be spending a lot of time with your friends. For you, it might be spending a lot of time with your parents. The Harvard Grant study of adult development, an over 80-year study, proved that our relationships and how happy we are in our relationships directly affect our health and our happiness. Human connection is the number one predictor of happiness. When I became a parent, I knew that I needed more family time. And then last Thursday, I was like, how much can I get for my kids on eBay? All the parents, yes, you relate. Happiness choice number 2 is getting a good night's sleep. This means sleeping 7 to 9 hours a night, every single night. Research shows that sleep increases our happiness, improves our brain functioning, and improves our overall quality of life. So even though those streaming shows are so good, or even though you could stay up just 1 more hour, just answer a few more emails, go to bed and leave your phone in the kitchen. How do you treat your spouse or your partner when you're really sleep deprived, maybe stressed? Right? We take it out on the people that love us the most. That's who gets it. Happiness choice number 3. Moving at least 4 times a week. Exercise increases our happiness, increases our brain functioning, and decreases stress and anxiety. Do not exercise to look good. Exercise to be happier. And I know you're busy. You don't need to do an hour workout class. Even if you move 15, 20 minutes, you will get the benefit. Happiness choice number 4 is do work that you like. That's meaningful to you. Research shows that meaningful work makes us happier and way more motivated while we're working and makes us happier in our personal life. And if you're not at the opportunity right now to change jobs or change careers, just spend more time helping people and your work will be more meaningful. There are many other happiness choices, such as spending time in nature, meditating, volunteering, journaling when you're going through pain. It's about you. When you spend your time doing things you really enjoy doing, you operate at a higher level. Happy people are more productive while they're working. A recent Oxford MIT study of over 6,000 people proved that people who felt happy while they're working are 13% more productive. That means you work faster and you work smarter. And happy people are more successful. Dr. Martin Seligman, the father of positive psychology and many others, studied close to 1 million people over 5 years. And the research showed that people who are happy while they're working were 4 times more likely to receive an accolade, 4 times more likely to receive a promotion. So it directly connects to your career success. Happy people are healthier and live longer. So on one extreme, there's being really selfish, only caring about yourself. On the other extreme, there's doing what everyone else and what society expects of you. The simple secret is to spend your time doing what you really enjoy doing so that you're happier, more successful, and you will take care of everyone that you care about at a higher level. What you enjoy doing may change over time. Like when my dad found himself single, or when you become a parent, for example. Reflect and take new action. We all have different set points of happiness based on our genetics and our life circumstances. But everyone can make it better for themselves. In the recent article titled, Can Happiness Be Successfully Pursued? The researchers write, it takes both a will and a proper way to become happier. I invite you to prioritize your happiness and spend your time doing things that you really enjoy doing. Imagine what that would do for your life. Imagine if all parents prioritize their happiness and set this example for their children. Imagine if all leaders prioritize their happiness and set this example for their teams. Think about you, all the parents and their children, all the leaders and their teams, now taking this renewed energy and using it to serve others and our planet. What kind of world would that look like? Thank you.
Hello, everyone. I would like us to begin with a short exercise. So can everybody place their hands like this? Reach out your hands. Thank you. And I will count to three. And when I say three, I want you to clap your hands, okay? One, two, three. So I did this to show you that we don't always do as other people tell us to do. We'd rather do as other people do. And this is important when it comes to creating well-being in ourselves and in others. I'm a psychologist, and I train organizations, teams, and individuals in creating happiness and well-being. And a couple of years back, I co-authored a book on the science of happiness. But when the book was published, I was actually in the middle of a life crisis. I'd just broken up with the person who I thought I'd spend my life with. I had no place to live and no job. And I think this is a very common human experience. We all face problems. We end up in crisis sometimes, and we struggle. But at the same time, I think most of us, we long for that other kind of life that entails meaning and connection and happiness. But it's kind of difficult to live this life, to always be there in this happy place. And today, I want to show you why your brain is not always on your side when it comes to creating happiness, but also what we can do to counter this. And it's not going to be by just positive thinking. This takes positive action. Because happiness is a skill we all can train and work on. I want us to start here. How it's not just about positive thinking. So let's begin with this. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you're really worried about something? And you kept worrying, even though you knew that worrying won't change the situation or help the situation in any way. And nevertheless, you just kept on worrying. Hands up. Right? We're all doing this. And if we could have total mind power and just switched over toward these happy thoughts, we'd just have done that and get on with our lives. But that doesn't really happen. Does it? And did you know that about half of the time that you've been listening to this speech, your mind has probably been wandering off, thinking about other things? According to a study by Daniel Gilbert and Matthew Killingsworth, our minds wander 46.9% of the time we spend awake. So our thoughts are automatic. They have a life of their own. And to create happiness by just controlled positive thinking, I think it's hard, if not even possible, impossible. And I think it's time that we start talking more about this. How can we take positive action, actually making the change in our lives? Because if I would ask you to keep your focus on your breath, don't think about anything else for 5 minutes. I doubt that anyone in this room would be able to do that. But if I would ask you to please raise your hand like this for 5 minutes, I think we all would be better able to achieve this. So it's really difficult to control our thoughts, and we have a better chance at controlling our actions, our behavior. Therefore, well-being is better built by positive action and not positive thinking. Also, we tend to look at ourselves as if we're these objective, rational beings that perceive situations in this objective manner, and we process information almost like a computer. I just take information in. But in reality, we're far from objective. And that's actually a good thing. Because if we would truly be able to process and perceive reality in all its nuanced complexity, we would be rather lost. It would be an overwhelming experience. So therefore, our brain have evolved several cognitive biases that helps us categorize and prioritize and sort information, making it more easy for us to navigate. But these cognitive biases, this sorting and prioritizing, is really affecting how we perceive life, how we perceive different situations. And I'd like us to explore this further in a little thought experiment. So I invite you all to think back at the last time that you had a evaluative conversation with your boss or manager. And I'm quite sure that you got to hear a lot of good things. Things like how you contribute to the workplace. But I'm also quite sure that you got to hear something that you can improve with yourself, with your performance. And once you leave this conversation, what do you think that your brain thinks is the most prioritized information? All the things that you do really good, or the one thing that you should be improving? Well, if you're somewhat like me, it would definitely be the latter. And this doesn't really have anything to do with how my brain works. This is actually a pattern that's been shown among people. For example, Teresa Amabile is a professor at Harvard Business School. She did a diary study where she got to read people's diaries to explore how they experience everyday life. And she saw a pattern that the negative effect of a setback was more than twice as strong as the positive effect of a success. And the same thing goes with money, that we feel way worse about losing an amount of money than we feel happy about gaining the same amount. And if you would receive a compliment from a coworker and then a complaint from another coworker, these two comments don't neutralize each other. The complaint would definitely leave a stronger emotional mark. So now we need to ask ourselves why. Why do we carry this emotion?
Stop everything. These bargains that you save are too good to pass by. 4 kilos real good frozen mixed chicken portions, just 194.99 Namibian dollars. 5 kilograms pasta polana, 109.99 Namibian dollars. 10 kilogram top score instant maize porridge, also just 109.99 Namibian dollars. 500 grams of Rama 70% fat spread, just 27.99 Namibian dollars. 1 kilogram U brand frozen mixed vegetables, just 36.99 Namibian dollars. You save, I save, yes, we all save. That you save.
Emotional asymmetry. Why do we have this preparedness to experience unpleasant and negative emotions? And to understand that, we need to understand the context, the environment where our brain has been evolving for so many years. Today, several studies say that we have evolved a negativity bias, which helps our attention to be drawn to unpleasant or possibly threatening information. And this was really good back then and there when we were at the savannah fighting for survival every day. But today, here and now, this definitely affects how we perceive our life, how we perceive our relations, our workplace, our own performance, and ourselves. So to simplify this a bit, one could almost say that your brain is concerned that you survive throughout this day. It's less concerned that you're a happy survivor. So by now we can understand that it's not strange that all of us sometimes feel anxious or tense or we worry. In one sense, we were built for this. But most of us, we long for this other kind of life with the meaning and the connection and the happiness. And I'm not sure that we can have one thing without the other, but there are definitely things and ways how we can cultivate happiness and build well-being. But this comes with good news and bad. The good news is that happiness is not something you find outside of yourself, and it's not something you have or don't have. It's a skill that we all can work on. But the problem is that we just don't do it. And this definitely applies for myself. This is the worst part of having written a book on happiness, because whenever I'm having a bad day, there's always someone who can go like, oh, haven't you read your own book, Katerina? You should know better. So I've learned that not even experts on happiness knows how to turn knowledge into action. And this is one of the reasons why me and a friend, we started a psychological gym where organizations and the teams and individuals could come and train these skills in order to create more happiness and well-being. Because we want to make psychological training as common as physical training. Because today we know so many things about how to eat properly and how to exercise to sustain physical health. But what would be the psychological version of a green smoothie or of doing 50 sit-ups? Is there really such a thing? And I would say yes, definitely. There's a lot of different exercises and things we can do building healthy habits for ourselves. And I would like to present an example of this. So once you've finished listening to this speech, when you're leaving this room later tonight, I'd like you to bring out your smartphone and text a kind, appreciative gratitude text to someone that you care for. And maybe you can just notice how that feels. And this is a good example of an exercise that I often do with leaders and teams. And just a couple of weeks back, I did this at a 2-day leadership conference. And later, I found out that one of the participants had texted his wife writing, "I love you very, very, very much," which made the wife think, "What are you doing at that leadership conference?" And it just texting one person at one time, it won't change the world in any way. But turning this into a healthy habit over time can have a large impact. And to dedicate this habit to caring for your relationships might be one of the most powerful actions that you can take when it comes to happiness. So this might be the green smoothie that you've all been waiting for. According to several studies, having functioning relationships is as important, if not even more important, as exercising well and having a good diet. And this can even help us live longer. In a study from Harvard University, which began already back in 1938, researchers followed over 700 people to understand what it is that makes us flourish as people. So they followed these participants for decades, and in 2012, the results came. The researchers found that happiness doesn't come from wealth, doesn't come from fame or working hard, it comes from relationships. And it's not about the number of friends that you have or whether or not you're in a committed relationship with a partner. They found that it's the quality of the relationship that counts. Being able to be vulnerable, listening, and sharing what's close to your heart, that's what matters. And by now, we know that forming good, healthy habits when it comes to physical training or having a good diet, it takes dedication, it takes commitment. And I think we should approach psychological habits in the same way, and especially when it comes to relationships. So by now, we know that the brain has this tendency to highlight the negative, and that this is really tricky to revoke just by positive thinking. It takes positive action. But some actions are more powerful than others when it comes to happiness. And investing your time and heart into the relationships around you, no matter if it's at work or with neighbors or with family or friends, this might be one of the most powerful things that you can do for yourself. And I'd like us to do this one more time. So can everyone reach out their hands? And I'm going to count to three. And when I say three, I want you to clap your hands. Okay? One, two, three. Yay! Great. So we learn by watching others' behavior. You've just seen me do this two times, and already so many people change their behavior. So the more you can turn this talk into action by being more understanding and caring, not just towards others, but also towards yourself, I think that others will follow your example and do as you do. And the people outside of this building, they won't know what just happened. They won't know what changed. But we know that it was here, in this talk, that everything started. Thank you.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch. Today we are talking about the $65,000 dress. Now, you might be thinking that, ah, Matriarch, why are you talking about people's lives and all of this? I thought that it was a great conversation starter. Now, my question is, would you purchase a $65,000 dress? Now, the average Namibian is saying that, no, me, I will not buy it. I'll buy a Mazda Demio. But first, Tatas, can we please start with showing us the dealership that sells Mazda Demios for $65,000? Because last I checked, those things are 85K, something there. Now you people are saying, oh no, $65,000, I can purchase my Mazda Demio for $65,000, but you guys are not telling us where exactly people buy Demios for $65,000, Namibians. Turombeleni na na kuchu Demio mbona uzipeni, uno $65,000, nate tukarande wo wetu. Shashino, maybe you guys are not really being great members of society, you guys are not helping others. Now you guys are just enjoying alone there, and we are just out here not knowing where the juice is and where the things come from. So many Namibians are talking about, I would rather purchase a car, I would rather do this with my money, I would rather invest it in something else, I would rather just not purchase a $65,000 dress. And it's understandable, because many of us are crying, economy, unemployment, joblessness. It's not unemployment, unemployment and joblessness is completely different, because you can be unemployed and then you can still have side hustles, which are jobs. The one that is jobless is maybe just no employment, no job, nothing. There's just nothing coming their way. They are skilled, but nothing is just coming their way. And it does happen, even if we want to pretend like it doesn't, even if we want to oversee or overlook the fact that it happens, it does happen. It happens where you are just down on your luck and you live here. And this is your country. And this is what's happening to you. So many of us are saying that I wouldn't spend $65,000 on a dress. And maybe, just maybe, right? The problem is not necessarily the dress. The problem is the conversation around the dress. So, this also leads me to go a little bit on our principles. Now, many of us like to read content, right? We like to read content. We like to watch people go live. Do you know how I know that you guys are listening? It's because every time I go live, there are 25,000 people. I almost said dollars, my dear. 25,000 people that are watching my lives. Where do those 25,000 people come from? If we are here in studio, and we are just, it's because you guys have an interest. You guys have the things that you're interested in. You guys have a thing that you like. You guys have your quirks. You guys have your preferences. It's life, right? And we are stuck in a time where we can't really understand other people, and we also try and understand other people, but there is a basic or fundamental principle that we were taught. All of us were taught this exercise in primary school, in kindergarten, or in high school, or at some point in your life you were taught this principle. It could have not been the game, because from the school that I come from, we were taught that gossiping and talking about other people. is a bad activity. So, at PE, like I said, I think Miss Roma is a superstar. I think the way I'm thinking about her all these days when I'm big like this, maybe I must buy her flowers and send it over to her house because I know where she stays. Because part of the exercises that we had as, grade four students or grade four kids, right, was the exercise of trust and the exercise of dependability and the exercise of gossip. So what they did is they put us in a circle, or what she did was put us in a circle. Now, this is the entire squad, right? The entire class of girls. The boys went to go and play PE with the other PE men. I don't know, Manirmal. They went to play PE. They went to do their own boy things and then asked the girls because we were separated, right? And it was a circle. Now, in this circle, it starts with a conversation that she whispers very clearly and very precisely into the ear of one person. And in that person's ear, this person is now supposed to convey the message, right? To, until it comes back to her, right? So this is a circle of, let's say, 20 kids, and you start with 21 plus her because she's the one that starts the story. So she, the next one goes into your ear and whispers the story. The next one goes into your ear, whispers the story until it comes back to her. And every single time when the story came back and it was said out loud, it was nothing near the truth. The truth is the conversation that was started from the teacher. That was the truth. And what comes back to the teacher is nothing compared to what was said. You could have, maybe there was a one word that was an identifier like tennis ball. So she would say that there are 20 tennis balls inside the bag. And she would tell this to the first one. The first one would say, there are 20 tennis balls inside my bag. Mm-hmm. You see how the story is distorted with one word, my bag. Okay. Then the next one is, there are 20 tennis balls inside Claudia's bag. Inside Claudia's bag, there were 20 tennis balls. And then at some point, it all just fades out. You get what I mean. And that's how gossip works.
If you've reached that stage in life where you are tired of everything, where each day is just routine, dah, yammer me oh. No, seriously, I am genuinely sorry for you, because you clearly haven't been polanified. Like, boring day at the spani. Polanify your lunch hour with a delicious Polana curry. Chewing through yet another stale sandwich. Polanify your burger with a little mac and cheese. Tired of chewing the same shandy? Polanify your munchies with air-fried Polana pasta chips. Come on, life's too short for boring. Polanify every moment with Pasta Polana, a proud product of Namib Mills.
Efiloshisho utalikulandula kona vewa yuka. Ekwashilipalekolo marwendo paiwano kupitila mwe NHB. Watupateleko mesho kwashilipalekolo fika mafio pedola emilio na omlongo danamibia. Moshi yoshe tukeshe kuyanja omakwafo unamiti enashane filoshisho lopa ulumo mungu. Kwa voveli ponjeo shilongo, shijoshi toporu washo ijo yetu, tashiningwa inapawe banando ishoshe layash. Opo umone ya kulolo polis mwule ominute tishona elela, lishangifako nhp.com.na umanga ino ya morwendo. Ponjeo shilongo. E mangono malandula fano odo dino kulandurwa. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
So much reverb. All right, ladies and gentlemen. So that is how gossip is started. Now, our people, we are reading the blogs. We are reading the gossip blogs and the gossip vlogs and the channel and the what. And we are reading people's status and we are listening to their lives and we are watching all of this on the gram or the tweets or the face or anywhere that it is being displayed. Sometimes we are even checking it on our colleagues, our our relative's WhatsApp status, right? And we go and talk about it. Now, when we go and talk about it, we talk about it in the concept of the circle of girls. Now, the circle of girls starts with a concrete message, a concrete and truthful message. By the time it gets to us, right, the story has been so diluted that we don't understand what is happening, and it is all outside there. Now, to clarify the $65,000 dress, right? It is to my understanding that the $65,000 dress is not a $65,000 dress. You guys are panicking for nothing. But my question is, why are you panicking? Why are you panicking? And that's why I asked, under which circumstances would you really purchase a $65,000 dress, either for yourself or for your bride to be? Either for yourself as a bride, or you as a gentleman for your bride to be, or maybe a suit that's $65,000. Under which circumstances in your life would you purchase something that is deemed to be extremely expensive in an economy that is not thriving, or at least it's not thriving for all of us? It's not doing wonders for all of us. Not all of us can afford even a 10K or a 5K or even a 2K right now. If we looked at accounts right now, we have unhealthy relationships with our banking apps because we keep checking if our $80 is still there on the app, because sometimes they take money, it's bank charges, what, and we have an unhealthy relationship with our banking apps because we don't have money. We don't have money, and money is scarce, and money is, right? But when we look at the true essence of it, it was a package, ladies and gentlemen. Before you get your panties in a bunch and you get all riled up, it was a package. The package was consistent of four dresses. Four dresses for $65,000. Now, if you guys do the math, we would say that it's roughly at $15,000 or $16,000 a dress, of which somebody would still deem to be extremely steep. Extremely steep. And the meme lords in this country, they are working. They thrive. They thrive in critical situations such as this one. So what had happened was a bride somewhere in OV. OV is OVAM land, right? We don't know if she's from there, or we don't know where she works. We don't know nothing about her except her story, of which I think if you are going to call out somebody, right, the question must be, am I comfortable being on display for your rant as a person? So if I'm unhappy about something, and I'm telling you guys that I'm unhappy about something, and you guys are part of my convoy, wouldn't the question be, are you comfortable with me sharing this information on social media? Because I would rather live my embarrassing moments without the public. Thank you so much. I would rather live my embarrassing moments without the public and take legal action if I have to, and take the necessary actions and precautions that I have to in my private life, because I don't want to be known as the bride, right, that had an ugly dress. I don't want to be known as the bride that wasn't happy. I don't want to start my marriage with so much commotion around me. And also, one thing that we don't know about social media is that when you display my face and you display my story, what happens is that those that know me personally start calling. So my phone is buzzing every single day, and everybody is calling me. Those that know me personally is calling me. We all know that many of us have at least 3,000 contacts in our phones. If we don't lose phones, we have at least 3,000 contacts in our phones. Now imagine people that you haven't spoken to, they are calling you about, yeah, I saw you on Instagram in your wedding dress. People that you didn't invite to your wedding. Oh, so you got married. So you got married and you didn't even invite me. I thought we are cool like that. Can't you just wanted a secluded thing with your family and your friends, your close friends, the ones that you trust. Now my question would be, did you ask for permission to put this on social media? And if you did, that's great. But personally, I wouldn't. Personally, I wouldn't want my face displayed in any kind of drama that is public. Because I know for a very, very fact, I know for a fact, right? That, publicity, whether it's negative or positive, publicity comes with a lot. Now, I'm going to be having unnecessary stresses, right? First week of my wedding, first week of my marriage, I'm having unnecessary stresses because my phone will not stop ringing. Then also, hypothetically, I didn't even tell my husband that I'm unhappy with the dress. And he thinks I look absolutely amazing. Hmm? Now, all of these things are put on social media. And he's going to be like, yeah, but why didn't you tell me? And now it's a thing of, yeah, but I had to find out from the grapevines that you weren't happy with your dress and I could have done something about it and nothing. And we could have what and we could have what. And then now this is commotion. So my question is, my advice to many of us is before you put me on display, before you put my picture out there on social media, before any of that, right? Respect my privacy. Respect my privacy. Allow me to give you a go ahead or to decline. That's it. I know that you must be frustrated because I'm frustrated, right? Because now I'm Godzilla here or Bridezilla or I'm just a sad negative Nancy because my dress on my big day is not the way I wanted it to be. Maybe it could be that. And you are frustrated because you want to see me happy. You are my cousin. You are my bridesmaid. You are my friend. You're my neighbor. I don't know who this person is or I don't know who this is. And, one thing about people. I know we can start a movement and we can start, cancel culture, but cancel culture doesn't work here in Namibia. Stop. This is not America. Cancel culture doesn't work here. So. But anyways, and one thing about social media is if you are going out there ranting, at least get your grammar correct. At least get your grammar correct. At least make sure that your writing is on par because we are also going to come after you. Our social media is a very beautiful platform. Those are very nice platforms. Social media platforms, they are very nice, but they can turn on you quickly. They can turn on you quickly and then, it can take someone's comment on this particular post for the whole nation to discredit you. They can say that, yeah, you're always the one that's bringing up people's things in public and what. And what if that happens? Cancel culture happens to you, the bearer of bad news. And then also the gossip vlogs and the gossip places. I think that many of us are using, we use these platforms, right? We use these platforms as a sign of threatening businesses. I've had a threat like that. Like, oh my goodness, if you don't do this, I'm going to take you to Omar Juices. I'm like, I wish you would. Police! I wish you would. I wish you would, please, so that I can drag you through the mud. Because that's not just a threat to destroy my business and my livelihood. It is to destroy and discredit my reputation. It is to, hey, I wish you would. And many people don't understand consequences because we think that, oh, this is power. You know, this is a gossip vlog that is gossiping or telling people secrets or telling people's private life because it's never the person that's going through the motion, right? The other party that's going through the motion that actually goes there and says, I want to share my story because I'm famous and I want people to know my story. It's never them. It's always just the outsiders, the ones that are not affected, the ones that, are actually not affected, but they pretend to be affected because it's not their wedding. It's not their car. It's not their what. It's not their what, right? And that's one way to look at it, you know? So we tend to think that, places that expose others, right? Every single platform is great. Now, it's fine to have truths. It's fine to decide that, I'm going to expose you and I'm going to put this out there because you have really done a number on me and it's bad, right? No, it's absolutely fine. But just understand consequences. We have had so many people in this country, right? It's only that some people don't make it to the front page, but we've had so many people, get sued, right? For speaking things that they didn't know. Speaking things that were not factual. Speaking things that they didn't have evidence on. We've had so many people and we forget so easily, so easily how bad it is to be on the other side. And also, we as human beings must understand that sometimes we do tell lies, eh? We do tell lies, can't see the agreement was not really like that. And me, I'm just telling you, eh? I'm just telling you so that I can hype up. I can tell you that, yeah, I can't believe this person, Just imagine you are not that close to me and you are asking me why I'm crying. And maybe me, I know that my dresses were not that much. Hypothetically, my dresses were not that much, but because, you know, I have whatever I have, I tell you that, yeah, my dresses were 120,000. My dresses were 120,000 and 120,000 and 120,000. Then you go out there, because you believe your friend, eh? And you are most Mr. Showstopper. You are most the one of, you are that person. Then you go on social media. Then you go and say like, yeah, 120,000, brah, 120,000. And then, right, there's backlash. Now this backlash is literally only on you. Why? Because you are the one that made other people's issues public. You are the one that took to the streets. You are the face of it. And now a clapback comes in. The designer says like, no, for starters, the dresses were not $120,000. I don't know what you're talking about. What are you going to say? What if the payer of these dresses didn't actually pay in full $120,000? What are you going to say? While you took it there.
Great news! Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Impa? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Impa has to offer at an unbeatable price. Impa, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Alrighty. So, it's the $65,000 dress, right? So, now you go out there and you are so angry that people paid so much money for nonsense, right? And Kanti, the man that was supposed to pay, the man that was, and I see this so many times where a third party gets involved in a story and Kanti, one of the two parties was telling a lie. And one of the two parties were too afraid to tell you the one that is going at war, right? The absolute truth. So then you look like a complete idiot, right? When people come and show receipts and what you are saying and what you are bluffing is something else. And I know, right, that some people have receipts. Some people do have receipts. And maybe if you got that first one that we highlighted, consent to make my story public, if you got that one, right? then the likelihood of you not being ignorant enough to just go blasting somebody without receipts and without actual proof, right, is there. But hypothetically, you did not get now anything because we are all emotional, right? And we are all impulsive when we are emotional. So you get there and kanti people are like, no, my dear. She paid me $5,000. I did it as a favor because her uncle is my sister's father. Now you didn't know this because these are family secrets. And also you didn't even know about this person's sister, for example, which are like, you have a sister, but your parents are married, but like, or your uncle is married. Those are our family secrets. Now our family secrets must also come out because of a dress, right? So you go there and you have been blasting. I saw it. There are so many people that have sued and they've asked, where is the evidence? Because the law of evidence is important. Do you know why criminals walk? Criminals walk because sometimes they walk. No, 90% of the criminals that walk the streets, right, is because of lack of evidence. That's why they keep telling people, don't tamper with the crime scene. Don't play around with the evidence that is there, because the crime scene is the evidence, right? Evidence, evidence, evidence. Pulling receipts is evidence. Now you go and talk there on the social media and you didn't see no receipts. It's just word of mouth. And then this person claps back and says, "Kucha, no, I'm not taking the bride, to court. I'm taking you, the story monger, to court." Then you call, "Kucha, yeah, this person is suing me and taking me to court. Quickly send me the receipts." And then the person says, "I don't have the receipts. It was actually never paid because tate, and then it's a long story, and then here you are. And then somebody is taking you for all the money that you have and you actually don't have money. And then what? Then it destroys your whole entire life and career. And then also, one thing that we must look at before we become social media famous. I know that many, many people don't consider these things because, many people don't consider these things because, right? They've got large followings on social media. But I know from the perspective of where I work and my employees, and I can tell you today, that I don't want an employee that attracts attention. Ah, no. I don't want an employee that attracts attention. Not unless it is constructive attention. Not unless it is a change, a mindful change. You're advocating for something. And even when you're an advocate for something, right, it must be something that is not affiliated to you, or it could be something that you have always been doing and I, as your employer, I am aware of it. So now, wena, you are the head of marketing at Eagle FM, for example, and then you have a social media presence, for example, of which is not really consistent of clients. It's basically just the hype that we have in our days, where you can find somebody with 1 million followers, you can find somebody with 500,000 followers, 200,000 followers, and it's just that, you know, where there are a lot of bikini shots and a lot of spa dates and self-care posts and reading posts and food posts and wine posts and, you know, the beautiful things, you know, in Instagram life. And you have all these followings, but then you are the head of marketing in my company. And now this drama that you are going back and forth with people out there. I, as Eagle FM, for example, I would drop you like a hot potato. I would drop you because I don't want that kind of attention. I don't want the kind of attention that says that, yeah, basically, your employees, and we are a media house, right? And you are head of marketing. You should know the ethics behind media. You should know the principles behind media. We don't cover stories that are not factual. everything has to be absolutely true. And it's not about he say, she say. That is why we need supporting documents. Always. The law of evidence. The law of evidence dictates that if there is no evidence to prove that this person had done it, then the likelihood of this person not having done it is high. We've seen people get away with murder. Right? Because there was no murder weapon. That murder weapon, right? Is the evidence. Eh? Is the evidence, kucha. This is the blunt object that this person used to club this person on the head, and this clubbing caused this person's death. Evidence. This is the evidence that we are having here. And we can have a witness that witness this person club this person with this object over the head, causing the death of this person. Evidence. Now you guys go and talk out there. And yeah. Will you open a shike? Like there's a madman that speaks out there. I don't know his name. There's a madman that speaks out there that name drops and talks about who's what, and I think that everybody knows that he's a madman. That's why he's not taken to court yet, because everybody knows that he's a madman. And everybody most probably knows that he has nothing left, because he done also played with everything. Apparently. Mm-hmm. Whoever that man is. So we go out there and we make stories ours, and then we are left with fires, because you can't just decide. And if you are given the reins, you know, then, and somebody comes back to say it's defamation of character and it is what, and you can stand your ground and you can go to court. But can you afford a pekoro kota? Can you afford to have your lawyer come with you? And when you also pick a lawyer, right? You pick a lawyer that is not weak. You pick somebody that is capable of fighting for you in the nature of your case. If it's a contractual case and it's an employment case, or it's something that we are going with contracts and all of that, you know that certain people that you must think about is, for example, Bangamwambo literally lives and breathes contracts. How do I know this? Because he gave me law of contract at the University of Namibia. He gave me law of contract. So he lives and breathes contracts. That's his thing. Eh? Eh, contract. That is his thing. So you choose, this one is about my employment contract. Eh? And how the company didn't do what. So it's not a Ministry of Labor only thing. Like, let me go to this particular gentleman to deal with my contract, and how they have breached the contract, and how they have what. You go to specific people for specific things. So now you are facing you are facing now a defamation, a lawsuit on defamation. You are facing defamation charges, you are facing slander charges, you are facing all these character diminishing charges, and you were not even, it's not even your story. Okay. So that is one thing to look at before we put it out there. And that's the second thing, because the first thing is that, do you want your business out there? Do you want to be a meme? There was a lady that was having a very beautiful and intimate time on the day of her wedding. She was there with her aunts. She was there with parents. She was there with family members. Everyone knows her character. Everyone knows that she's a natural born comedian. Everybody is accustomed, right, to the fact that she makes certain jokes like this with her family members and her close friends. She didn't think that any of her friends or family members would make a video of her and put it on the internet and let it circulate. Now, it could have been done with good intention, but it's not everybody that's out there that has good intentions, right? So she's saying that let's make quick. Onjo kanoda pumba. She's saying, let's make quick so that we can go to church, so that I can go and get married, because marriages are very rare. Eh? You guys are making my husband wait, and I'm not even married yet. So let's get a move on, guys. And she's saying this in a most delightful kind of way. It's such a beautiful thing to see, especially for us that appreciate true human experiences, for us that appreciate true human connection and conversation. We appreciate the fact that she is a happy bride. She's a happy bride, and she's having a wonderful time, and she's marrying the love of her life, and she's thrilled, and she is, you know, she's happy, man. And we are happy that she's happy. And you guys put it on the internet, and the internet is not laughing with her. It's laughing at her. And also, the calls, they come. Every person that knows you personally calls your phone personally to ask the 411 on the conversation. Now, the problem with this is that some people are so hungry for a little bit of attention. They put you on the spot and use what you said, ne, as public information. So the husband gets calls now. Like, yeah, we saw your wife, eh? We saw your wife. She's very what, and she's very what. And this continues. And they had an issue. She publicly came out and said, kucha, like, yo, guys, that video caused me a lot. Even within my marriage, it is a conversation that my husband is extremely unhappy about, you know? And I was joking with my family. I was joking with my family, and I'm allowed to joke with my family, because there are just certain things that you can do in front of your family, and there are certain things that you can't do in front of your family. For example, like getting drunk. You people are getting drunk in front of in-laws, and when you guys leave, we are all talking about you. It's like, ugh, the hardy call one you are. Be now the type of person that's abusing our person. Be now the type of person that we didn't really want for our person. And then you come to our house, and then you get drunk and you're falling over. We are talking about you. We are talking about you. Fully. Full force. We can even get popcorn while we are at it. We talk about you, and we pop that balloon, my dear. We're talking about you. And that's why you must get in drunk in front of your own family. What is this? Go get drunk at your own house, Chomi. Get drunk at your own house. Sleep. Urinate yourself. Whatever happens when you're drunk, go do it at your house. But here at my house, you must have a certain... I put you on a pedestal here at my house. So you must have a certain je ne sais quoi about you. And you can bluff all you want, because you want to normalize bad behavior and embarrassing behavior. But you people are embarrassing your spouses. My dear, that guy, when he starts drinking, like, he doesn't even go home, my dear. You are embarrassing your spouses. Well, my dear, she know you, your habibi is used to it. But us, the family members, as we are looking at you like, oh, and because how? No. And this was something that ruined, like, that almost had the potential to ruin her marriage, that didn't even get off the ground yet. And you guys are already doing such things. That's why social media is so dangerous. And social media is also, it's also pleasant if you use it correctly. If you don't want a public life, don't be a public person. If you want to be a person that is private, be a private person. That's it. And some of you guys are using this concept of private person and privacy and what to hide your side chicks and hide your side dudes and to hide your not so pleasant looking spouses and all of that. You guys are using it for militia, but for those that are genuinely here to listen, it's for that. So that is one of the conversations. So initially we are saying that happiness in itself is made. We choose, and then we make this choice. And then everything that is negative, we allow it to roll off our shoulders and not keep it hostage. We allow bad experiences. We allow uncomfortable experience to be in transit, just passing through. We don't hold on to it. We allow ourselves to create the happiness that we want. And part of the happiness that we want is making our loved ones happy. Ladies and gentlemen, people that spend large amounts of money. Good evening.
Hello?
Hi.
Is this not Demetrius?
It is. What's up?
Yo, what's...
It was my birthday recently, so I turned mature. So I'm a little mature now, eh? So what's up?
Now, I just wanted to tell you that I am currently listening right now to your, I don't know what, your talk, I don't know what it is, but I'm listening.
Mm-hmm. You're listening, eh?
Yeah.
Are you learning something?
Hell yeah, I am actually.
What did you learn?
Yeah. I mean.
Well, which part stood out the most for you?
The part you say that social media is dangerous and you can, I mean, no, yeah. I'm tripping.
No, don't trip because you're on the right track. Like I said, that there is no such thing as a right and wrong answer. It is just what you heard and how you interpret it. And I like the fact that you saw that one as social media is dangerous. It can be pleasure or it can be pain depending on how you display it. Social media is a clean canvas. You create what you want to create on social media. Now, the problem is our creations. Are we very, very sure that this is what we want to create?
Yeah, I mean, you are listening. I don't mean no disrespect, but mm-hmm. you talk a lot and mm-hmm. I don't have credit. So I'm just going to listen.
All right, my boy. Ciao, ciao.
Ciao.
All right. Good evening to you, ladies and gentlemen. The number in studio is 083-288-401. That is the number in studio. If you would like to participate in a conversation of this nature, please do call in and let's have a conversation. You guys all say that, oh, no, yeah, I like that. Mm-mm. You guys are just there on the other side nodding. But the little questions and the little agreements that you might have, right, can spark a conversation that can ignite somebody else's thoughts. Right? And I'm saying it's a collective effort. It's a collective effort when we are talking here. It's collective. For us to somewhere, somehow give our opinions and allow it to fall onto the ears of those that need to hear it. So the number in studio is 083-288-401. That is the number in studio in case you would like to call in case you would like to come and have the conversation with me. So going back, so social media in itself, right? It is wild. Good evening.
Good evening,
Tatibwana. How are you, my scholar?
Thank you, Mimi. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
I did not even hear anything.
Why?
All I heard is just that, yes, you guys, if you want to call in, you can call in. The number is what?
What happened? And why?
No, I just came in. I was attending a memorial.
Oh, okay. Okay. So today we are having an intense conversation about the $65,000 dress, rumor, or whatever is going on here on social media and in Namibia. So there is a bride out there. Yeah. So there's a bride out there, Tatibwana.
Both of the true things, they always want to turn them as a rumor. Because they want to avoid the suit, the lawsuit and all that.
No. I'm saying it's a rumor because I didn't see any evidence apart from pictures of a bride that looks beautiful.
Okay, let's take it that way.
Mm. Because the person that is being accused of doing this has not said anything yet.
No, but the other people surrounding him or her are saying he's a
the woman. Third parties, yes. But the bride and the groom, they also didn't say anything.
What can we do? Because the third party might have been the one who was sourced.
Mm-hmm.
who facilitates that whatever went on there, and you cannot expect the direct person to come out and say something. Most of the time, we have spokesperson people around.
Yeah, spokesperson people.
So if they know that they make some blunder, they can always come and say, it's a rumor. Let it be proven if it's a rumor.
No, but that's what I'm saying, that there's no evidence from my side. So that's why I would say that it is a rumor, because I haven't seen any receipts of these $65,000 that has been paid for these dresses.
They might be deleted, man. Don't tell us those things.
Deleted by who? The bride now?
Yeah, no, the bride is safe, fine. Because maybe the bride, you know, those people, they are also managed.
Yes.
External affair.
Yeah.
So, but we are not going to blame anybody there. If they don't have the slave slip, the payment slip or whatever. But we know generally this is what they do.
So who does?
We are not referring to that case. But we are referring to general issue that, yes, many a times we emulate those things, and then we do their fashion style. To imitate, actually, maybe that's the correct way. To imitate and things like that. If there is nothing of that nature, it's also a warning that people of God must resist from getting into very, very expensive things.
But is it very, very expensive, or is it just very, very expensive for you?
Yeah, because, you know, most of, I know how they acquire, I don't know how they acquire that, that thing. But it could be indirectly from somewhere, somehow. You understand? Even if you are a business person, you cannot tell me solemnly that, yes, all the money that you have used was not, there was never a cent that was generated from a direct, indirectly or directly from the taxpayer. Even if it's your own money, somebody, you know, we always talk sometimes a black, what, black taxi and all that thing. Somewhere, somehow, your uncle or your mother might have facilitated for to your development. So we are not wrong, whether you use your own money, whether it's a ghost or whatever, I don't think we are guilty for that. So let's
but the argument is, under which circumstances, right, would you purchase a $65,000 dress for your partner?
Oh, see, those are, you know, it's a good question, but you know very well that it's just an exorbitant kind of a price. If it's not exempted to us, I mean, it's not what that kind of a way that I want to use. We know that maybe at our own level, at your own level, it's like a cup of tea, cup of tea or whatever. You don't feel it.
Yeah, a drop
but
in the ocean.
You have some people who are around you in the community who are feeling so vulnerable to many, many other things. I know it's your money. I know it's your wife. It's your sweet wife or your queen or whoever. It's your husband. You can do, you can use your money. Not in that, that manner. That's more disgusting. That become more, it's no longer going to be tasteful to the community, but it's going to be disguising, you know?
Yeah.
It's going to be very disturbing to people who may not have reached that level. Because the presidency that you are setting is very dangerous.
But also it's actually none of anybody's business to know the price of your bride's dress.
Exactly. We don't need to know.
Yeah, we don't need to know. Because up until this point, we didn't know how much wedding garments cost.
You see?
Yeah. It's only now people that are coming out like, my dress was $200,000. You're like, hey.
$200,000.
Yeah.
So we have money to be squandered around.
But it's not squandering. It's not squandering if you have it, isn't it?
My friend, we have it. But I just follow the thread. We discover that some of those money or resources were not acquired in an honest manner.
I believe that the Bwana, the reason, okay, part of the reasons that I'm talking about this is the fact that stories like this create unnecessary attention. Now, you yourself, ne, you as an aggrieved bridesmaid or an aggrieved vendor, right? You decide that you are going to social media to go and put this on social media. Nani, tene, non kurukadi wanjo tarongo shinjeken chochi, you understand? As we went to steal our money somewhere so that we can have a good wedding, or as we went to work somewhere somehow for our what, and then now you put me and my family into the public eye where I didn't want to go. So now intelligence is like, I, Bwana, talando he mother 65,000. Where did he get the money? Because as we know that Bwana cannot have $65,000. So now I go under investigation. ACC was supposed to find me only after 20 years. Now this person, you have speed up my process of being caught by ACC.
It's a good warning, my friend.
No, it's, but the Bonham, you are looking at the scenario differently. My scenario is that you are putting, you as the third party, you are putting me in the public that I didn't want to be in.
Yeah.
So me as a husband or as a wife that is aggrieved by whoever we sourced to do this. Maybe I didn't want that kind of attention. Then you come and ruin my whole entire life, right? With this publicity. So the whole time, right? I have maybe an uncle that assists me. Shashino ohema o oyazi kucha. Aye, five of my family members, oyaturapo each one, 12,000, 12,000, 12,000, 12,000, 12,000 to buy my wife, right? These dresses.
Maybe they were coerced.
No, but the Bwana, what I'm saying is, we might not have this kind of money. Then you go and put us out in the public, right? Yes, and then now even people that used to assist me will stop assisting me because I buy $65,000 dresses.
I understand the blunder that the third party has caused.
Mm-hmm. But hold the line for me.
You Save's combo for just 599 Namibian dollars is so popular that we gladly repeat it. Hurry to get yours. 10 kilogram each of Champion Super Maize Meal, Bokomo Fetku Flour, Nice Rice, and 10 kilos Marathon White or Brown Sugar. All four products for only 599 Namibian dollars. You Save. I Save. Yes, we all save at You Save.
Alrighty. So that's what I'm saying, Kuja. This unnecessary, this unsolicited attention that I might be getting. Shash, you know, one thing that we don't also pay attention to, especially when it comes to our Wambo, right? Our Wambo are extremely generous people. That is why we can have extravagant weddings. In this Namibia, I think it's only our Wambo that have extravagant weddings. Because our Wambo families, they come through for weddings and they come through for funerals.
Very much.
Yes. So I can decide tomorrow, kucha. Hey, kuku. Hey, I want to get married. And I know that my mother can put down $100,000. Kucha ningeni. Then my uncle puts down $50,000. Then the other one puts down what? And it's not even that I'm going to start my marriage in debt. It's really just that I have been such a good daughter and such a good family person, right? And we will help you to create the wedding that you want.
We appreciate the gestures from the auntie, the uncles, and everybody. The third party who is there to facilitate, and you know, the third party is like a communication liaison officer.
Uh-huh.
He's a liaison officer.
Mm.
He's the one to bridge the gap.
Yeah.
Between now the second respondent or whoever, you know, those people,
mm.
the couple now, for mm. example, the mm. bride, groom, yeah. or whatever.
Yeah.
Now for him, he's there. Sometimes they can make blunders because immediately they run to the media.
Yeah.
They might not have consulted the couples.
Yeah.
That, you know.
We are going to use your face.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you are using a whole entire picture of me.
Imagine.
And now, even if I was, all the people that I didn't want to invite to my wedding, mm-hmm. they are calling to ask me, what is the wrong thing to hear? You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Eh. And then everybody that thinks that for example, if I'm being assisted by an uncle and daddy, eh, or I'm being assisted by a stranger out there, kucha. Eliphaz was going through a lot, on this issue, kucha keni mariwa, and he's just being assisted by the family to get married. Now, Eliphaz's face comes outside on social media everywhere that Eliphaz bought his wife a $65,000 dress. What happens to the relationship between Eliphaz and somebody that used to assist him financially?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Exactly. Yes. Yes.
Even your uncle who might have assisted you.
Yeah.
You might not even feel okay. Maybe some will feel that, yes, I mm-hmm. want to show that I'm the one who assisted my kateguru there. But that's not the purpose of the whole thing.
Yes. And also Tate Buana, as your child, I would lie to you. I would lie to you and tell you, kucha, all four of my dresses are kumwe on the randa koma yovige John Long. Hmm?
Oh,
yes. Yes, I would lie to you as my parent, kucha, on the randa koma yovige John Long. Ndaka honjithara, eh? And then, imarua ikwa onjiwa penje, on that turamotenda no shike. Then it comes on social media, kucha, oka anakoka rando hema, o hema diri four for $65,000. Then it is a story of ruining an entire relationship.
Well, it's not only running there, it's also running within the community where you are coming.
Eh.
And there are people who are dying from hunger there.
Eh.
And you are the neighbor.
Eh. And you are buying dresses.
Like the way you love yourself. And now the people are hearing now that even maybe close to your neighbor there, your house.
Eh.
Somebody, maybe they were funeral.
There was a funeral. And you didn't even, which I have, Mungaro, Umbiram with it.
Nothing.
Mm. Exactly.
So, Gaone, in the community there, you have not actually, you haven't played a role model kind of inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
You have actually chased them away from you.
Yes.
So, I think those are some of the consequences that we might not be aware of.
Yes.
But, of course, the third party and everything, they just leave it in. Now, the couples now, what do you call them couples?
Yeah, a couple.
The couples are now languishing in the petition and say, no, why did he do this? Why did he do that?
Mm.
But he thought he was just acting properly. But nevertheless, all in all, is that let's exercise some kind of consideration.
Mm-hmm.
Even if that one is a rumor or not,
mm-hmm.
it's a rumor. It's not, it did not only happen to this one here.
Mm-hmm.
So they may think that, they want to institute a lawsuit because mm-hmm. of what and what.
Mm.
This is the general kind of principle.
Yes.
And we have heard it many times. They were also Iranian welding, you know, those Iranian.
Mm.
They were also this other type of welding.
Mm.
And there are many, many, many others.
Mm-hmm.
And even some of those resources,
mm.
when you hear and follow the connection,
mm.
some of them, they come from tenders.
Yes.
Some of them come from just the... solidarity,
mm-hmm.
where people have come maybe in your village at one point, maybe
yeah.
during your father's time
yes.
or your mother's time,
mm-hmm.
and the people could keep that money, they preserve it.
Mm-hmm.
Now when you grew up, you just found yourself at the University of Namibia, you graduated, and you have a $2-3 million with mm-hmm. the Sanlam,
yeah.
which was also created by, you know, all these things, they have got relationship. But nobody should feel offended. It's a rumor, it's a rumor.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
If it's a rumor, it's a rumor.
Mm-hmm.
You don't go for rumor.
Yeah.
But all what we are saying is that if that could have happened,
mm.
it's not, it doesn't occur well in our eyes.
Yes.
In the public of the eyes, the community.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are to put yourself there,
mm.
to put yourself in the shoes of those people.
Mm.
Now, if you are spending $100 for a welding gum,
mm.
Gown,
mm.
and you have the people who are suffering there in your village.
Mm. Or even just your siblings.
Yeah.
Your sibling's school has not been paid. And you are Mesheri or something like that. At the end of the day, it's not wrong for you to spend your money on the things that you want. But
yeah.
it is wrong for people to put out information of this nature without, right, carefully thinking it through.
Exactly, you are right.
Because also one of the dilemmas that came with Malema's case, the Elindi brothers case, right?
Yes.
Was the amount of money that was put out in the media made their family a target. For mm-hmm. crooks, made their family a target for people that tahehere. Yes. And it's not to say that they are innocent or they are guilty, right? It is just that when large amounts of money are put into the public ear and eyes, right? It also follows a certain kind of scrutiny and stigma that follows it. Because the stigma of money works like this. All of us are angry that you have so much money. All of us are angry that you used all that money on dresses.
We are all angry because we are all jealous
because we are not in the class that understands that $65,000 is not money.
Let's say maybe it's not necessarily because of jealous.
Mm-hmm. But we are jealous. We are jealous because all of us have something to do with this 65,000.
Yeah, we think that, you know, that jealousy is a positive jealousy.
It's not positive jealousy. With that $65,000.
Even if it's your money,
yeah.
even God himself,
mm.
who has endorsed us, he has entrusted us with his resources,
yeah.
to take care of these resources,
yeah.
to develop them, to yeah. channel them where it is necessary.
Yeah.
If God finds out that you are channeling that
resources, but it's my
that
money.
Says,
I can channel
says,
it.
The grace of God. If you don't know what I'm saying, I'm going to go to the house. I'm going to go to the house. I'm going to go to the house.
No, but it's not wrong. It's not wrong for you to spend $65,000 on a dress. Yes, it's not wrong. It's wrong for the amount of money that you spend to be out in the public. That's what's wrong. It's wrong for us to know, ne? How much you guys are spending.
Okay. Let's say the amount you came into public.
Yeah.
And it's legitimately spent.
Yeah.
It's your own money.
Yeah.
We understand.
Yeah.
You have acquired, you have worked for it, yes. That money.
Yes.
But it is also wrong if that money that you have worked for,
yeah,
directly,
yeah,
and you are going to spend, because that money cannot be spent recklessly.
No, but it can be spent recklessly. It's not your money, Tatebwana. You cannot tell me what is reckless and what is not reckless for me. I must not you. You want to buy seeds or mbuto, and you want to make ikuku, and you want to kherithako etsa, and that's your dream, right? But yeah, my dream is I want to look beautiful on this one day that I'll get married.
It will benefit the community.
But I'm not working for community. I'm not living my life for community. I'm not living for community, dear. Eh?
That's where we will follow you.
But it is guilty pleasures, right? It is guilty pleasures that we are allowed to have. The only thing that was wrong about this, right? I feel is that this matter was brought to the public. Yeah, I think that was completely wrong because of the scrutiny and the stigma that comes with people that don't actually have the money. Because if these people had the money, we would know them as the millionaires of somewhere in Dishi. But we don't know these people. These are just ordinary people. You understand? So for me, that was the wrong element of all of this. And also the bride's request for the kind of dress that she wanted, that was also another wrong part of this whole entire story for me.
Yeah, you have just reminded me about the issue of
copyright.
Yeah, they not only copyright about leaving that reputation.
Yes.
So because the thing has come into the public.
Mm-hmm.
It also, there is that element of violating the dignity or the reputation just because of the publication.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns somehow, it violates.
If your friends knew that you bought your wife dresses for $65,000, would they help you again if you asked them for $100?
Yeah.
Never.
Goeie nuus, Imba het nou nog beter geword. Ons het splinternuwe funksies bygevoeg om jou ervaring vinniger, beter en kragtiger te maak as ooit tevore. Is jy gereed om die volle potensiaal van Imba te geniet? Kry alle eksklusiewe funksies vir slegs $36 per maand of spaar selfs meer met ons spesiale intekenplanne. 5% afslag vir 'n 3 maande intekening, 10% afslag vir 'n 6 maande intekening en 25% afslag vir 'n 12 maande intekening. Kies die beste plan vir jou werk en geniet al die voordele wat Imba bied teen 'n onverbeterlike prys. Imba, waar die wêreld saamkom, laai dit af en teken vandag aan.
Alrighty, yes, Tatebwana.
No, I was just saying that it's a rumor. And it's a rumor and a rumor.
As we say, it's a rumor because we were not there.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, as we say, it's a rumor because we don't have facts, we don't have evidence, we don't know if it's a made-up story, we don't know. And we don't even know the people personally, that's why we say it is a rumor.
So we don't even want to act on those things.
Yes.
We can only speculate.
Yes.
What I was saying is that the publication of defamatory matter.
Yes.
So maybe, we are just concerned because it could be a violation of dignitas.
Mm-hmm.
That should not be a really case.
Mm.
But in that matter, if it's a rumor, That means it's not something that one can rely on. So, and we cannot really be so much bothered by rumors.
Yes.
But what we are saying is that if there is truth in that.
Mm-hmm.
What we are saying is that because of the our morals, our standing,
mm-hmm.
because those people who are married, mm-hmm. the couples,
mm-hmm.
you know, marriage is a honorable thing.
Yes.
But if they see you now there, and they have heard that you have spent $1 million.
Yeah.
In the wedding, in just the wedding gown.
Yeah.
And within your community there, or within your family cycle,
mm.
there are people who are more vulnerable.
Yeah.
Who cannot even, so that you are actually tended.
Yeah.
That go to the reputation of yours or being a role model within your community.
Yeah.
Just because of this not reckless spending, but there's a way.
No, it's not reckless. It's just because there's so much stigma around money.
Oh.
Yeah, there is a financial stigma. We all love our uncle that has a lot of money, right? We all love that uncle. He's the one that is respected in the family. But then for us that are ordinary citizens, right? That are not millionaires like that. When we spend money like that, everybody hates us. And everybody hates us because we are jealous. Tate Buana. Tate Buana. There is this theory of Mercedes, ne? Eshete. Yeah, Mercedes Benz. Tate Buana, do you know that nobody helps you with anything when you drive a Mercedes Benz?
They
think
you have good money.
Exactly. Nobody can. The best that they can do is they are happy for you. They are with full tank. Mara, ngere o achara kucha. Ah, hey guys, on the kwapa ne on dirimondorongo. Everybody will say landi sapeshete. Ah, hey, landi sapeshete. Why? Because they are secretly jealous of this eshete.
Is it not just maybe they are assuming that you have got money because you have got a shit?
Exactly, but it's also coming from jealousy. It's also coming from jealousy because why must I sell my nice thing? Why can't you just help me?
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
So now the people, the couples now,
mm-hmm.
they feel that their names, their reputation is somehow intact.
I have. Okay, from my own personal opinion, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel sorry for them in their private life. I feel very sorry for them in their private life, and they are starting their marriage off on a very intense way. Because in all the pictures of the wedding, there were a few pictures that you looked beautiful. But every single time that you look at these pictures, right? Because of how public it was made, your husband could have reassured you, and you understand. Then you start looking at the pictures differently. You understand. But now, because it was a public thing, can you even hang up the pictures of your wedding in your house? Eh? Is this, Shashino, everybody that comes into your house will be like, is this the ugly dress?
Oh, this one, you got it this way.
Aye, is this the ugly dress? Because you are now known on the internet as the bride with an ugly dress.
Maybe.
And it's not ugly. And it is not ugly. The dress is not ugly. No, it is ugly because it was made public. The rest of us thought you looked beautiful. We didn't know the price of this thing. We didn't know nothing. And we all thought that you look beautiful.
But there are many weddings that came in the public,
uh-huh.
through fabrication.
Yes.
Maybe where people were complaining or people complained about issues.
Mm-hmm.
Even though maybe they were just rumors and say, oh, This was the one who came with your katakataka. This other one came with this other one, and this and this and that and that. When the people were aware that these are business people, and these are people who were getting tenders, whether the tenders were acquired legally or lawfully or whatever. So, but we know people were still, this is too much. This is the money. I don't know whether it's because people were also arranging that, yes, this were a connection. So, but you know, when you get that money, and you conduct an event of that nature, very expensive like that, extravagant.
Exclusive. Extravagant.
So now, if you spend in that manner, so like I was saying that somehow, somewhere, so the connection between the so-called community, you know, most of the community, they are vulnerable. Eh? So it's somehow disturbed. So I don't know, but it's your money. How you acquire it? Maybe it's your own business, your own thing. But many a times we are just saying, even if it's your money, you are just a steward to keep God's resources.
God gave me the money so I can spend the money. Me, I'm spending my money.
Spend it wisely.
That's wisely.
Oh, is that wisely?
Can I teach you a wedding investment? A wedding investment is you buy, right, your dresses, your gowns, your four gowns for $65,000 because it is an exclusive design from an exclusive designer. You now go back and you sell your garments, right? For even a little bit more expensive.
Yeah, they do that.
Yeah. But they also only sell it to elites because it's only elites that understand, right? You see, you onyamuka njapo.
When we finish our wedding,
you give it away.
We just give it away.
Wow.
You understand? So maybe I could be looking at that dress, although my wife was in that dress of white. But for us, I prefer to look at the other compartment than this other white one because I cannot even remember.
I know.
But they are
dancing. It was white. I know they all look the same.
They all look the same. It's not different.
It's a white dress.
All the women are beautiful for me.
Yes.
Women are just beautiful.
Yes.
These are the ones who come into this shape. This is beautiful. The only beauty is only tempered and disturbed when they put some of those things on their... I'm not saying that they are right and they look maybe comfortable, but I prefer them looking so natural, just the way you are. You know, I've seen you 2-3-4 times now.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen a difference from the natural look.
Mm-hmm.
So if it can be in that manner, in that way, I have no problem.
Yeah.
So because you can also then say, okay, this one, maybe we take it to the museum.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you so much, Satibi. Ciao, ciao. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about this conversation because we are looking at all the elements around it. And personally, my element that I am focusing on are just two elements. I'm talking about, okay, for it to be made public like this, right? For it to be made public like this, I feel like it was not supposed to. I feel like if we have the kind of money to purchase dresses for $65,000, then we have the kind of money now to just take this guy to court. Take this guy to court under false advertising, under false what, under, you know, like selling us dreams and not delivering on your promise and not delivering per our contractual obligation.
obligation. We could have just dragged this guy straight into court and let the media itself, right? Like let it run with the story. I would have taken it from that perspective, not a gossip vlog. I would have not taken it from a gossip vlog. I would have taken it from a legal stance on which I actually do have grounds, because the dresses, one, the dresses are supposed to be delivered 2 weeks prior. You breached the contract. You didn't honor your side of the contract, which is 2 weeks prior. And you were giving me, false hopes, right? After I have paid my things in full, that the dress will be beautiful, the dress will be done, the dress is exactly the way I want it. And exactly the way I want it is exactly the image that I had given you, exactly the way that I wanted it. And then you deliver dresses that are nowhere similar, or not even nowhere similar, they are not what I wanted. So you gave me a product that I didn't want. It's like you saying that you are going into the shop to go and buy Coca-Cola, and then somebody gives you a tweezer. That's not what you want. You wanted Coca-Cola, and somebody gives you a tweezer. That's, you can't sell me a tweezer at a Coca-Cola price, and it's not what I requested for. I would have, if it was me, I would have taken it from a less dramatic, a less cancel culture perspective. I would have taken it from a less ruin his image kind of perspective. I would have taken it from the perspective of, if his image is going to get ruined, it is going to get ruined because he really didn't deliver. I would have taken it from the perspective of, let's sit down, say, are you going to refund our whole entire money? Because one, right? We didn't get anything that we wanted at all, and you went with our money. So are we paying for something that we didn't want? Like, you asked that, I must have an interview with the matriarch from Eagle FM on Monday, the 27th of October. This is the day that I must have an interview with the matriarch. One, you come here. It's supposed to be at 9 o'clock. You come here and the interview is starting at 12. Right? Like, ha. It's already a red flag at this point because it's not the time that you asked for. Secondly, the person that shows up is HD. HD is the one that's going to be doing your interview, for example. That's going to be doing your interview. This is not the person that you requested. Okay, but you're still getting an interview. Then, right, we go into the interview, and I had a specific sequence that I wanted to follow. For example, I wanted to follow. And you decide that all we are going to do is we are going to greet. And then after we are done greeting, right, we are going to play music for the next 3 hours. We are not saying anything. We're just playing music. That's it. And then after that, I say, okay, so thank you so much, Mr. Blue, for coming and joining us in studio. Did you get what you wanted? You didn't get what you want. So you can go. You can like, whoa, this was our agreement and it was not honored.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Alrighty. So that is the perspective that I would have taken it. That would be the angle in which I would have taken it. I would have taken it from the perspective of, like, if this is what is going to happen, then let's take legal measures. Many of us are delusional. Many of us are delusional when it comes to how strong social media is. This is not America, guys. This is not America. The worst that can ever happen is, yeah, for a couple of days, I'll be in hot water on social media and I will continue with my life. Because if I can explain it to a couple of my clients that know me for the past 10 years, right? There's no such thing as cancel culture for me. So now you just drag people's dirty laundry onto the internet for nothing. And you expose them for nothing. And you might have, right? You might have caused friction within their personal relationships with other people for nothing. Guys, the law is your friend. The law is your friend. You must always ask, legally, can I do anything about this? If somebody says, no, you can't do anything about it, then yeah, then maybe you can take the social media route. But if you've got legal grounds, there are legal grounds, guys. And also, you can't send somebody $65,000 without a contract. Who are you? Everything has a contract. So as long as there's a contract, be it verbal agreement or on paper, but I would legally binding. I would like it on paper. I would like you to give me, right? Because this is a lot of money. I would like you to give me a document where we sign and I have a copy and you have a copy and this is executed on this particular day. You give me dates, you give me times, you give me fittings so that I can arrange my schedule around it. And also I can defend myself in the event that you mess up my things. So when you are going to get married, honey, the people that you are paying all this money to, I'm not saying don't buy your things that you want, honey, because also one of the reasons that we must also look at is, and this is a Namibian phenomenon, many of us are dating partners, right, for longer than we should. And do you know why we date partners for longer than we should? Because you might be ready for marriage, but your partner is not ready for marriage. And he is saying that you can be the mother of his kids. Check out. You can be the mother of kids, but he's not ready to have a wife yet. Why? Because apparently he's not financially stable. And you take it. Sometimes you take it because you also know your person. You also know that your person doesn't break promises. If he said he's going to marry you, he's going to marry you. And then the day comes where he goes on one knee because Kanti has been saving up for the past 10 years. And in these 10 years, right, he has saved up $300,000, of which $200,000 is for the wedding and $100,000 is for your lives to start. Whether you guys are going to build a keanareni, whether you guys are going to pay rent in 2 years, whether you guys are going to, whatever it is going to be. This guy saves up, right? Because we are under the notion that women don't propose marriage. If you are a woman and you are proposing marriage, I don't know. But where I come from, it's the taboo for you to propose marriage. Where I come from, it's not a taboo. It's not a taboo which are the ancestors will strike you down with lightning and the ancestors will not do this. No, it's just considered a taboo because it's considered to be embarrassing because women are not chasers. And you asking a man to marry you is like you are chasing him into, you are the one that is desperate for him. So women are supposed to sit pretty and the men come to them, not the other way around. Now I know that you guys are most into your pop culture and all of that, but where I come from, this is the principle of it. A man is supposed to be the one that initiates marriage, initiates conversations like this, initiates. You can be at home and you can initiate the conversation, Kucha. Like, I know, when are we getting married, you know, because we are together for 20 years. And you can say that, but then it is up to him from where I come from. Right? It's up to him to now set the dates to say, Kucha, you know what? I'm ready to get married. Get your people prepared. We are going to come on this day and we are going to do this and you guys can come on this. He leads that so that when you guys go and get married, you're not being beaten and told that you forced me into getting married to you because it was all his choice. That is why you don't find women being beaten for, you forced me to marry you. At least not the ones that follow the culture of where I come from. Other women are being beaten about. Yeah, I never wanted to get married. So now you want to come and call me back from the bar at 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. While I'm not the one that said, let's get married. You are the one that decided, let's get married. So now me, I must be forced to change my life. But you wanted marriage. You understand those kind of insults. Can you live with those insults for the rest of your life? Because me, I sure as hell can't do that. I don't want to do that. I want to be the one that said, you are the one that brought me here. Me, I want to be the one. I want to be a winner. Eh? Are you a, I want to be a winner. So, yes. So, imagine now this guy is dating you for all these years. You guys have all these kids. And this guy is saying, just hold on a little bit. Just hold on until I get my money right. Just hold on until I get myself right. I will. I'm not going to go and fraternize with anybody. I'm not going to go and marry somebody in secret. It's you. I'm just not ready. And you understand, because you also know that maybe your person is not even a liar. And really, you also want him to be happy, because you want a happy groom. You want a man that is dancing, a man that is happy, not a stressed man. You understand? And the only way a man is happy is if he has control over things. Like, he controls the fact that the money is brought by him. Right? Or displayed, or whatever reason. So you allow this, and you wait, and you wait, and you wait. All your friends can get married. All your friends are married for the past 10 years. All the married, the people are married for 7 years, years under their belt. You become the single friend, right? You're always a bridesmaid, never a bride, but you are hopeful, and you have faith in your person that he's working. You understand? And he is really, he's going to come through and he's going to make good on his promise. He promised to marry you and he will marry you, right? And you guys will be one. You guys are already living together. Everything is already there. Like, the only thing that is not official is the party, the celebration that we have. The celebration that we have that is culturally a must. You must celebrate a wedding. Otherwise, it is not a real wedding in your society, in your community. Especially if you are from where I come from. That is why there are weddings there. That is why our parents, our uncles, our aunts, and our relatives can all chip in financially, through help, through whatever, to make your wedding a success. Because that is what we do at weddings and funerals. Awambo people are generally very generous, especially when it comes to extravagant things. And we can bash them and say that they like to show off, they like to what, right? But it's not really showing off if it is the culture. The culture says that at weddings, we must come through for the family so that we make it a success, because oshituthe ashiliwa komkunda. It is an event that is eaten by those that have watched you grow. Those that have been there, your village people, your mates, your friends, your family. And it's the same as a funeral where the whole village mourns when there's a fallen hero. It's the same concept. So we understand why money is spent like that, and why we bring it to the forefront like that. Why the weddings are so extravagant on the other side. It's because you might not have the necessary money, but if you have your mom that is willing to put down a $100,000, which I use so fat, khandun, eh? And then you have your uncle that loves you so much, and he comes and says, Kucha, hey, here's a 50K. If you have gifts of finances of over $500,000, are you not going to have a good wedding? You're going to have a good wedding. Some people would say that a good wedding can be cheap too, but what if the things that I want are expensive? You can have the wedding that you want. You can have whatever you want. The world is your oyster. To be honest, the world is your oyster. Happiness is made.
You make the happiness, and then you choose to be happy. And even in tough times, you allow the moments of badness to slide off and not affect you like that. So there are little elements within this story that I don't agree with. But it's definitely not the money aspect. I don't agree with the messenger. The bride and the groom, absolutely happy for them. I'm absolutely we saw other pictures, and the groom and the bride looked extremely in love and extremely happy. And now I was talking about in the event of you wait for so long, right? My dear, me also as the matriarch, if you are making me wait for 20 years, right? Under the notion that you are getting your money right, and then you finally get your money right, why must I settle? Why must I go for a $2,000 dress when I can also just hire the best designer in Namibia? Why? Why must I, can I not trust myself? Can I not have a moment where I'm just a showstopper? I've waited for a very long time for this wedding. I've waited. I've been patient. I've been faithful. I've been loyal. I've been through everything with this man. Do I not deserve beautiful things? He went and he saved up and he got this money. Whichever way he got this money, am I not supposed to enjoy the money? Because you have a problem with people that spend money because you've never seen that kind of money in your account. Me also, I didn't see it. But the man says I can buy. Because there's no decision that I'm making without him. Kucha, ndamona okuno pekija dohema ombwana. Do you think that we must, I can get this package? And then your husband says, yes, get it. No problem. I'll make the payment tomorrow. Just ask for the bank details. Get it. It's nice. You will not take it. You will not take it because You want the spirit of poverty to follow you even until in your marriage. It must just follow you where you are just cutting corners and edges and all of that. Even in situations where you are supposed to eat the whole cake, you are saving for tomorrow. Hey, I go to let tomorrow sort for itself out, you Christians. But you guys are still, I know Demio was 65,000. I would go all out also. I would have a beautiful wedding. I would have a beautiful honeymoon. I would be a princess and a queen. I would have 10 dancing steps. I will have the best caterers so that my people are treated like royalty. I would hekereka my parents, you know? For all the time that we had to go to weddings of cousins and everybody, and they looked at me like I was never gonna get married, I would reassure them, kuchunsa no shwea. Yeah, I would. Hey, you made me wait. I would. Kuchunsa no kwea. And he's a man of his word, and he's a man of honor, and he's a man of true principle. If he's now paying for everything himself, wana bola. Eh? Or we are paying for everything ourselves. My dear, I will hype my husband up. I will hype my husband up for all the years that we weren't married and we were the only couple at the table that were not married. I will. And I will hire the best so you guys don't leave my wedding saying, kucha, natunwa kosha. I would make it a wedding that even me when I go to bed, ne, I'll smile for 10 months straight because it was just so nice. Nobody went hungry. Even the dogs, ne, they decided that they don't want to eat anymore. Even the dogs from neighboring villages, they came, netaiko ndoko. I would party until sunrise. I would have the time of my life. If that was the situation. Because also, where people come from, right? Sometimes, also, shows you, kucha. Like our first caller was saying that, I asked under which circumstances would you buy your bride a dress for $65,000? And he said, She must be someone that I love and she loves me unconditionally. She must be an asset to me. And if she is an asset to me and somebody that I love unconditionally, I will buy, man. I will buy. Eh? I will buy it. And if the money is right, I will buy it. Good evening. Yes, Tate B.
Utakuti.
Yebo.
Kuchane mukare munikuri usike pen, mumbom. Even if the dog have to eat and the chicken and everything.
Yeah.
Taviko ndoko.
Yeah.
Nanda no wakara ne vanwa vamu. No mara kucha me ango jimwano haanu ilo miviro. Deikuri ihapu ndeta kungu.
Yeah.
De natango mongola kisa kwa pita.
It's not for that. We're not having parties that are beautiful and everybody's eating so that tomorrow there's evidence of it. It's living in the moment, Tate Buana.
Yes, living in the moment and then people are now vomiting and doing this.
And they enjoy it. And what's the problem? And what's the problem here? Yeah. And they enjoy it. Do you know that I mariwaya wambwa iya ramosa? So your whole money that the buwana ne is just on your account for funerals.
And whenever there are those kind of events, wedding, Esa. Only moment we go kick color or commanding back. Color of the
Oka,
in the Mumbaika, me a pumalo, Ireke Mukolo.
The Taiole Lekona, Nanyam.
Taiole Leko.
Nanyomu, Kutur. Aha, when Nanyomu, how can you put your stingy auntie at the room for meat?
No, they say, Oko Ketata, Kakuka, Ketata, you know,
thank you so much, Tatibi. Alrighty, so at the end of the day, Mina, I will. Sir, me, I will. I will enjoy myself. I will have nice things and I will go all out. Yeah, I will. And if I know that after this wedding, we are not going to starve, eh? I will. If I know that I will do it. I will also just have a very nice thing and I will do it. And the mukai tanti, hote hunu. I will do it. Let me hunar. I will. As long as I'm happy also. Because sometimes we cut our dreams short because of what people will say. And these people don't even matter. Because when I check those beautiful, those pictures, ne, I can say that those two, ne, they look so happy. They look so happy with their $65,000 dresses. They look so happy. The problem is that now we'll look at these pictures with a slight of, with a slight demeanor of, her dress was not nice or she'll die. But if we didn't know that it's not what she wanted, ne? Then, my dear, none of us would have an opinion about it. So, it is the conversation around happiness. The conversation of how to be an ordinary person that is making yourself happy in a world that tells you that don't do this. There are children in Ethiopia that have not eaten today. Don't throw away food because children in Africa are dying of hunger. Don't play with water because other people, So now we cannot have swimming pools because there's a water crisis. There's a water crisis in Namibia. So a swimming pool, no. Don't wash your car with a hose pipe. And it's not even City of Windhoek that's telling you. It's just neighbors. So finding happiness in ordinary moments, right, like getting married, is a thing that we must look at. So, ladies and gentlemen, one more conversation with somebody else, and then we'll come and round up the conversation around copyrights. And I will defend the designer. But so, I didn't need to defend the designer for a long time. So that's why I'm saying I will defend the designer. And now, then when they go to court, they can choose if they are going to use my information or not. All right?
Time. Time is critical because how you spend the hours of your days sum up to the years of your life. I'm a professor of happiness and I study time, which is kind of ironic because for my own personal happiness, time proved to be the single biggest barrier. I remember one day earlier in my career when I was an assistant professor at Wharton, I had traveled up to New York to give a talk, and that day, like so many, it was just crazy hectic. My presentation was sandwiched between back-to-back meetings from which I'm rushing to this colleague dinner and then frantically rushing to the train station to catch the very last train that would get me home to my four-month-old and my husband asleep in Philly. Now, I did make the train that night, but I remember so vividly sinking into my seat, totally exhausted, and resting my forehead against the glass, watching the night lights whiz by. I was like, I don't know if I can keep up. Between the pressures of work, wanting to be a good parent, wanting to be a good partner, a good friend, the never-ending pile of chores, there simply weren't enough hours in the day to get it all done, let alone do any of it well, let alone to enjoy any of it along the way. And I wanted more time, not just so I could get more done. I wanted more time so that I could slow down and actually experience the hours that I was spending so that my entire life wouldn't end up passing me by in this blur. I know now that what I was experiencing is time poverty, which is defined as the acute feeling of having too much to do and not enough time to do it. Even if you haven't heard this term before, I suspect you know exactly what I'm talking about. Show of hands, how many of you agree with the statement, I never seem to have enough time to get everything done? A lot of us. And we're not alone. My research team conducted a national poll that showed that nearly half of Americans feel this way. And it's not just us in the U.S. Folks across the globe report suffering from a hectic pace of life with too little time. And on that night on the train, when I felt very time poor and not happy, I concluded that there was one obvious solution. I needed to quit my job and move to a sunny island somewhere, right? Because with all the hours of my days to relax and spend doing what I wanted, then surely I'd be happier. And I was like, is that true? Are people who have a whole lot more time, in fact, happier? And this is an empirical question and one that I could test and probably should test before telling my boss that I quit and my husband that we should pack for life at the beach. So I recruited a couple of my favorite collaborators, and together we examined what's the relationship between the amount of discretionary time people have and their happiness. And across our studies, including an analysis of the American Time Use Survey, which captures how tens of thousands of working as well as non-working Americans spent a regular day, we found a consistent pattern of results. And it looked like this. It was an upside-down U shape, like an arc or a rainbow. Now, this is interesting because it shows that happiness goes down on both ends of the spectrum. Yes, people with too little time, those with less than approximately 2 hours of discretionary time in the day, were less happy. But this didn't surprise me because I knew all about the high level of stress that comes from being time poor. It was this other side that was surprising. Those with more than approximately 5 hours of discretionary time in the day were also less happy. And this is interesting because it shows there is such a thing as having too much time. But how could that be, right? How could having loads of hours to relax and spend however you want to be associated with less happiness? Well, it turns out we are driven to be at least a little productive. Research shows that people are averse to being idle. And so when we spend all the hours of the day, day in and day out, with nothing to show for it, it undermines our sense of purpose. And from that, we feel less satisfied. This is important to note because it cautions us on those days that feel so hectic. The answer isn't to quit everything and move to life, you know, sitting in a beach chair. These results point to something else that's interesting too. Namely, if we could just get to having 2 hours in the day to spend however we wanted, we'd reach that sweet spot for happiness. Now, I will admit that at first I'm like, 2 discretionary hours? That's like an unreachable luxury. But then when I did an honest accounting of my days, I realized that the target 2 hours wasn't totally out of reach. Even during that hectic period of my life, I'd get to spend 15 minutes in the morning snuggling with my little one, 25 minutes talking to my best friend on my commute home from work, 30 minutes enjoying dinner and a glass of wine with my husband, and then 20 minutes singing my baby to sleep. This amounted to 90 minutes that I wouldn't have wanted to spend in any other way. And it wasn't until I did this calculation that I realized just how joyful so many of my minutes already were. And so altogether, what this research shows us is that the answer for greater happiness isn't really about having more time available. It's really about how we invest the time that we have. For happiness, it's not about becoming time rich. It's about making the time we have rich. But how? How do we make our time rich? Instead of quitting, I redirected my research agenda to answer this very question. How do we spend our time to experience greater joy during our days and so that at the end of our years, we can look back without regret? And what I have learned is that time isn't the problem. It can be the solution. Because how we dedicate our days, hours, can have a tremendous impact on the satisfaction we feel in and about our lives. And it doesn't require any drastic life-altering changes. With just a little bit of intention and attention, we can choose to be happier. As a first step, we need to identify and protect time for those activities that are truly worthwhile, those activities that are fulfilling, that align with our values and purpose. One way to identify these activities is through time tracking. Over the course of a week, write down for each half hour what you did and rate on a 10-point scale how you felt coming out of that activity. Something else you can do is to simply reflect. And you can actually do this right now. So think back over your last few weeks. What were those times that made you feel the greatest joy? When I reflect back, my coffee dates with my daughter Lita stand out. Now, mind you, this is an activity that was born out of a very functional routine. Every Thursday since she was little, on my way to drop her at her preschool and me to my office, I wanted coffee, clearly. So we'd stop at the local coffee shop. And soon enough, this mindless routine transformed into this treasured and highly anticipated ritual. We have a coffee date playlist and everything. Each week, this is a blissful half hour that we get to spend together. Chatting, munching on Nutella croissants, her drinking her hot chocolate, me my flat white. It's time for just the two of us. And yes, this is a very regular activity that is special to me. But the specialness of such regular activities is not an anomaly. In my research across lots of people, we find that those activities that produce the greatest happiness are often remarkably mundane. And you might have noticed that too when I just had you think about your most joyful activities. They were probably pretty ordinary. And this is important to note because since these activities are so ordinary, when we're in a rush, when we feel time poor, we're very quick to neglect these activities. Or even if we make the time, we're rushing through them. Or we're distracted on our phones or in our heads, cycling through our to-do lists, thinking about and planning for what's next. But to be fair, it's easy to miss these moments because we've gotten used to them. We've gotten so used to these simple joys that we barely even notice them anymore. And this is due to hedonic adaptation, which is our psychological propensity to get used to things over time. And so when you do the same thing again and again, when you're with the same person again and again, they stop having as intense of an emotional impact on you. Now, it's good that we are adaptive in the face of negative circumstances. Hedonic adaptation helps us manage through those tough times. It makes us resilient. But it's bad that we also get used to life's good stuff. For example, think back to the very first time someone you really cared about said, "I love you." It's like fireworks in your mind, in your heart. And then a few years on, "I love you" gets reduced to "love you" as you're hanging up the phone or heading out the door. And if something as profound and wonderful as the declaration of love gets reduced to a couple words that you barely even hear, that shows the power of hedonic adaptation. And it shows that we need to be careful and aware of it so that we can offset it and continue to feel the happiness from life's joys. One way to offset hedonic adaptation is to count your times left. Just because it's an everyday activity now, it doesn't mean it's going to continue to happen every day, and certainly not like it does now. So for instance, with my coffee dates with little Lita, I counted. As a first step, I calculated how many times have we done this in the past. So including our daily coffee dates during my maternity leave with her, and then our weekly ones since, I calculated that Lita and I have gone on approximately 400 coffee dates together. Now, the next step is to calculate how many times left do you have to do this activity in the future, accounting for factors that will likely change. So Lita is now 8. When she turns 12, I suspect she'll prefer to go to the coffee shop with her friends instead of me. So it'll be less frequent. And then she's going to go off to college. And then she's going to move to New York if she's anything like I was. So with that, I calculated that Lita and I have 230 coffee dates in the future. Now, the last step, calculating. Of the total times, what percentage do you have left? From this, I realized Lita and I have approximately 36% of our coffee dates together left. That's much less than half. And she's only 8 years old. Now, at first, this might seem sad, and you might be wondering to yourself, I thought this lady was a happiness professor, so why is she making me cry? But I can assure you that the effects of this exercise are really positive and impactful, because recognizing the preciousness of these times motivates us to make the time. No matter how busy I am, I absolutely carve out and protect time for my weekly coffee dates with Lita. And yes, they used to be on Thursday mornings on the way to preschool, but now she's in elementary school, which starts way too early. So our Thursday morning coffee dates happen on the weekend. But that's fine, because we still spend the time. As important as making the time is how engaged we are during these times, right? Having counted, I make darn sure to put my phone away, to quiet that to-do list that otherwise is constantly running in my head, because I know that I cannot be distracted from this moment, thinking about and planning for what's next, because this is the time that matters. And also, this is only 30 minutes each week. But these minutes color how I feel the rest of the week and really how I feel about my life overall. Not only do I feel happy during these dates, but I feel happy beforehand as I look forward to them. I feel happy afterwards as I think back and remember them. When I'm assessing my satisfaction with my life overall, these minutes and the resulting connection and relationship that I have with my daughter have a huge effect. I can honestly say now that despite still having that high-pressure job and husband and now two kids instead of one and that never-ending pile of chores, that I am happy. And this touches back to what I said before. When it comes to happiness, it's not about the quantity of time we have available. It's about the quality, how we invest the time that we have and how invested we are while spending that time. With just a little intention and attention, we can find extraordinary happiness in ordinary moments. Thank you.
In ordinary moments, in ordinary moments. Now, ordinary moments is most now, depending on how you view ordinary moments. And ordinary moments are maybe steps that you take within your life, like getting married. So it is the quality of what you are doing there in your ordinary moments, because your life is an ordinary thing for you, and it's an extraordinary thing for somebody else. So ladies and gentlemen, I'm just saying that, hey, okay, like, tone it down, guys. Like, tone it down. Let people spend their money the way they want to spend their money. Allow them to be happy, and you just pray, right, that you get to a point where you can understand when somebody goes and buys a Rolex and it's 45K and that's the cheapest one, right? And this person has five. People that buy perfume for $1 million and they have five of those, and you're like, $5 million, guys. People that you understand, and you hope that you get to that level as well. So in terms of the designer, ladies and gentlemen, please note, right, that there is a thing called plagiarism. It's called copycat. Yeah. In layman's terms, there's a thing called copycat laws where we can punish you for copying. Now, we can punish you for copying academically. We can punish you for copying somebody else's work. We can punish you for copying, for using somebody else's things and displaying it as your own. And that is why, right, when I look at this issue and I look at unhappy people because of the product they got, right, the question always remains, do you guys put into consideration that the product that you want to get is not owned by the person you want to give it to give it to you to? English. Are you guys aware of this? Is this something that lingers in your mind? Is this something that goes anywhere? So you go and you follow a well-renowned designer, and this person is called Vera Wang. Now, Vera Wang garments, ne? They are Vera Wanging. And you are like, wow, I want that. Now, my question is, if you have the money, right, you can also just call Vera Wang. And you ask them, I want a gown, and I want this particular gown. And they can tell you that, no, this particular gown is how much. And then you go to Vera Wang, and then Vera Wang makes your gown, and Vera Wang makes you look beautiful, and Vera Wang does their thing, right? Don't take other people's work to be duplicated by someone else, because you will pale in comparison. Because one, the artist that you are giving it to is an artist. You guys don't understand art. Design is art. It is art. Everybody has their own flair. Everybody is an individual. Music is an art. Writing is an art. All of these are art. And because we don't respect artists, we don't assume,
right, that a designer is an artist. So I would be very offended if I was a designer and you come to me and you don't say that I want a dress that is inspired by this one. You say, I want exactly like this one. If you want exactly like that one, the designer is still alive. Call that designer so that they can duplicate this dress for you exactly the way it is. So if I ever had to defend myself as a designer, if ever you came to me, a designer with a tailoring job, right? A tailoring. Because that's tailoring. A tailor is somebody that sews. A seamstress is somebody that sews. So you go there with your design and they create it. They don't create anything for you. They look at the picture and they copy the picture and then they sew the things together. You understand? A designer is somebody that looks at everything. Okay, looks at the lace color that you would be fitting in and they create from scratch something that is befitting for you, something that would make you beautiful, inspired by their own mind and creativity. That's a designer. Huh? A designer is a creative. A designer is an artist. A designer is Da Vinci. A designer is Beethoven. A designer is an artist. So if I were in Roberto's shoes, my argument would be this, that I don't copy other people's work. And not unless he is the original designer of the dress that the bride wanted, right? Because I don't know. But if he was the original designer of the dress that the bride wanted, then he should be able to explain why it is not the way the bride wanted it, but it's an original piece. You understand? But if it is not an original piece by him, I understand why it's different. Because I can sing you a song and no one can ever do it like me. I can write you something and no one can ever do it like me. You can weld me a whole entire piece of art and no one can duplicate it. Because some ideas are only with the master. And that's why there are things called copyright. Right? Copyrights. That's why me as the matriarch, I come here and I sit and I give you guys my best. I give you guys my shows and we talk and we have a good time, right? And on days where I feel like I heard something some way that I feel that my people should also hear, but it's not something that I want to repeat because the message doesn't slap hard when I'm repeating somebody else's words, right? I allow you guys into the space where you guys can hear it from the horse's mouth. But what do I always do? What do I always do? I always say inspired by, right? I always give a disclaimer because I am not a copycat, right? I'm not a copycat. And also, I understand copyright laws. That you cannot use somebody else's work as your own. It's not yours. Protecting intellectual properties. That's why I can come here and say that, all right, guys, so today we're talking about this and this and this, but there is a story that I want you to hear, and it is going to be said by who, from where, and we are going to listen to it. Now, we as Eagle Media House, or we as Eagle FM, do not claim any ownerships. That's a disclaimer. We don't claim any ownerships of what we are playing here. We are not saying it's ours. We're saying it's something beautiful that we would like to share, that we stumbled upon. We would like to share it with the audience. We're not sharing it under the notion of Eagle FM owns it. It's Eagle FM's things. No. Mm-mm. It's just the same as Geno, another radio station just takes my whole entire show and puts it on their lineup there. They will have that they want to deal with. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait a minute. What is this? Because that's stealing. Right? Stealing. That's why even when you listen to the ads here, I know you guys like the one of, let me not take out my Katutura manners. Right? But nobody else can use that because that would be stealing our thing. Not if they say it a different way. Right? That's why part of our ads also says, none of the views of the guests or the callers are the views of Eagle FM. Those are disclaimers. Right? So these are all to make you aware that we are not taking anybody's work. And this is the same in the creative area, that let's not plagiarize. Don't go and copy. Because when you go and plagiarize a whole entire package, right, or a paragraph, your lecture sees it, that this is plagiarism because this is Plato's work. It's not your work. Not unless you quote Plato. You can use Plato's stuff, but quote him correctly. Citations. And you also have to have your opinion within it. And that's why a dress can be inspired by Vera Wang, but done by Roberto. So maybe we should look at that. And also, before you guys put your issues onto the internet, remember that not everybody is going to see it as see your person as a victim. Sometimes they are going to body shame. Sometimes they are going to slander. Sometimes they are going to hurt your person's feelings. You didn't intend for your person to get into the crossfire, but now all of us are shaming her body. We are saying she must go to Herbalife and she must go into the gym and what, right? And this is just hurting her feelings. So before you embark on the journey of being an influencer or being in the public eye, you must remember, right, that you can't have thin skin. You must be made of thick skin like an elephant. Before you embark on the journey of putting your whole entire life out there, make sure you don't have any skeletons. Because not all of us are happy that you are thriving with your 500,000 followers. Sometimes we just want to ruin your life a little bit. That's it. Sometimes we just, you know, we just want to ruin your life a little bit. Sometimes we are just unhappy that you are happy. So we will kill that happiness that you are having. No. Fenach. Sharp. All right? So from me, the matriarch, I bid you farewell. I love you forever and a day, and I'll see you tomorrow at 10 p.m.